The Web's Michael Smith. It is episode 102 of the Canes Cast, and you know what?
What's that?
It feels like hockey season.
It does. September is here. Hockey's here. We're at RCI.
Yeah, currently. Live on location.
Raleigh Center Ice, the site of the Hurricanes informal skates, captain skates, if you want to call them that. We'll get to the whole captain thing in just a bit. But Hurricanes on the ice, a handful of them.
Yep.
Guys getting into town this weekend. The Labor Day holiday, I think, marking the official end of summer as we know it. Because from here on out, it's hockey. It's hockey time. Training camp starts in a week and a half. The preseason starts in, 2 weeks or so? Yep. And then opening night will be here before we know it. Opening night is in actually exactly a month. So there you go.
At the recording of this, a on-location edition of the Canes Cast. But a few things coming up on the podcast. You're going to hear the debut of You Wanted It, We Got It, the Martinook Minute,
yes.
Jordan Martinook. We will try to get 1 minute from Jordan Martinook as much as we possibly can during the course of the season, so you can have that. Plus, Ryan Dzingel, newest member of the Carolina Hurricanes, the free agent signee who came from the Columbus Blue Jackets, but is really excited to be here. And, of course, the big story that happened on Labor Day, which is Justin Williams, the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes, is stepping away from hockey, taking a break, if you will. Did not use the word retire. He used the term taking a break, stepping away. And for all of you who are trying to figure out what this means, we're in that exact same boat as you. But the exact quote, this is the first time in my life that I felt unsure of my aspirations with regards to hockey. For as long as I can remember, my whole off season until this point has been hockey and doing what was necessary to prepare for the upcoming season. Because of my current indecision and without the type of mental and physical commitment that I am accustomed to having, I've decided to step away from the game. Now, that is not retire.
Correct.
That is step away. It is important to me that the focus of attention is on the current very talented group of Carolina Hurricanes as they prepare to build on the momentum and growth that we established last season. So he is stepping away because he's not sure if he wants to play. That's still the number one issue here. He's not sure if he wants to play.
Yeah, and we talked about it last week on the podcast, it being that the longer it dragged on, the less likely it looked that he would be with the team at the start of the season. And I think the part of that quote that you read that really touched on this whole thing is, without the type of mental and physical commitment that I'm accustomed to having. Because he told us at the end of the year that if he came back, he had to be 100% all in. He couldn't be 50, he couldn't be 65, 69, he couldn't be 80, he couldn't be 90. He had to be 100% all in. And without that, both mentally and physically, he didn't feel like he was doing right by the team to come back if he wasn't all in, right by the team and right by himself, honestly. So that's why we're here at this decision. Now, does it leave the door open for him to return? Sure. Just as if he would have used the word retire, I think it would have been a little more final. Not that anybody has never unretired before. That was certainly a possibility. But since he didn't use the word retire, it certainly does leave the door at least cracked, propped open maybe, for a return at some point, you know, whether that's with the Hurricanes in the NHL or with another team. I have to imagine if he did return, it would be with the Hurricanes at some point in the season. But as it stands now, he is not mentally and physically prepared to return for another season, so he is stepping away. Now, maybe that becomes retirement. Maybe he does return, but for now, that door with Williams' name on it is cracked. Almost shut, but cracked.
Yeah, it's not completely shut.
And that's where he's left it.
Look, there are going to be a lot of people. There's a lot of comments. What's going to happen? Does this mean he's going to go from here? And it's all speculation. And you know the great thing about today's day and age that we can get reports like that in an instant. The bad thing about today's day and age, you can get a lot of these reports and they're false. It's just some guy out there who's, you know, it's Uncle Chucky's you know, super secret hockey blog website.
That's actually my homepage.
Okay, it's,
so
I didn't
thanks
know that.
For that.
Sorry, wasn't sure where you were getting your info from.
I read it every day.
You know, it's just some guy out there throwing out a rumor, or somebody just throwing it out there, and then it gets picked up by one person. That's all that has to happen, and then away it goes. But in this instance, speaking on behalf of the Web's Michael Smith and myself, we can't tell you 100% that Justin Williams is going to come back and play hockey, but we can't tell you 100% that he's done, that he'll never come back and play. As Michael just said, the door is just cracked open a little bit. It's not completely closed, and we've seen Mike Fisher do this with Nashville.
Right.
We've seen a few other athletes do this. Boxers do this all the time, a little different with what they go through. But in the case of Justin Williams, I don't know if you're going to agree with this. I don't think we're going to get into the embrace debate portion of the podcast here. But if ever there was a player and everything that he gave to the game, and then this Canes organization in particular last year, who deserves the, you do this, you take your time, and we'll sort it out, it's Justin Williams.
Yeah.
He has earned the right to play this hand however he wants to. And who knows? He can be sitting at home for the first month of the season and be like, you know, I don't have the fire anymore. Or he could be using that first month to be like, no, I've got it. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get ready to come back and play, and we'll see if there's a space available for me. And my guess, my best guess, is if he comes back, he only plays for the Carolina Hurricanes. So all of the circulated rumors of, well, he could go here or there, and he can. He's an unrestricted free agent. That's one thing we'll caution Canes fans about. He doesn't have to sign with Carolina if he wants to come back and play, but I think it's 99.9 repeating that he's going to play for the Carolina Hurricanes if he plays at all again in the NHL.
At this point in his career, I think that's the step he's at in this road. Now, I honestly wouldn't be surprised either way if he doesn't play again, or if he decides to come back mid-season, say. Like Mike Fisher, as you mentioned, maybe he watches the Hurricanes through the first half of the season. Maybe he can provide something that they need. Maybe he, you know, begins to work out more rigorously and prepare himself mentally and physically to come back. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just enjoys being a fan and enjoys watching the team and cheering the team on from afar. It'll be completely up to him, but to his point, he has left the door open for a possible return. Now, whether or not that happens, we'll see, but as it stands right now, Justin Williams will not be a member of the Carolina Hurricanes to start the 2019-20 season, and the Hurricanes, for their part, have prepared as if this could be a possibility, because we went into last season knowing that he was on the last year of his contract. The Hurricanes were well aware of that. Williams mentally was kind of preparing himself that might be his last season, knowing that he was on the last year of his contract. So mentally he's in that state. And so the Hurricanes entered the offseason with, you know, the real possibility that he might not come back. And they've structured their lineup to fill that hole. Now, points-wise, you can fill that with some of the additions the Hurricanes have made this season, Ryan Dzingel included.
Eric Holla,
and we'll get to a chat with Dzingel in just a bit. But the one hole that I think his absence does leave, obviously, is the leadership hole. Because without him in the locker room last year, I'm not sure that season turns around the way it did. I think Rod Brind'Amour deserves probably the most credit for what he was able to get out of that group. But I think a big part of it, too, was Justin Williams' ability to take Rod's message and relay it to the guys in the room. He was that conduit. He was that that player who was able to show the room exactly what needed to be done and demand that room do exactly what needed to be done in order to get back to the playoffs. And then you saw him, you know, lead the team through to the Eastern Conference Final. So that's one of the biggest holes left by not having Williams.
What you hope, though, is the example that he set for that team is picked up, rubbed off on the guys who remain in that locker room. And I think there are some guys now who are more prepared after having watched Justin Williams lead this team the way he did last year to step up in a leadership role and be that kind of player. Of course, you know, you depends on who you talk to, where leadership comes from, you know, comes from within. That's a good group of players. But Justin Williams last year, yeah, he scored 23 goals, and we can point to everything he did on the ice. To what Michael just said, that was the impact of the captain, of Justin Williams. He pulled that team. He dragged them across thresholds and pushed them up hills when they didn't know they could do it, but he knew they could. But there's something else, too, for Justin Williams. He's accomplished everything in this game that you could possibly want to accomplish as far as playoff MVP. His name's on the Stanley Cup three times. He's been a captain of an NHL team that made it to the conference finals. He's done everything. And when you talk about, you know, what's left, that's a question. And this is the hardest decision that athletes of his caliber have to make, Michael, is the when is it time to leave? Is it better to leave with a little in the tank, or you got nothing left and you're not playing to the ability, the standard that you've set for yourself that you have to play through? And it's the hardest decision. So whatever it is, back to Michael's point, if he comes back, we're going to love it. It's going to be great, especially for what we do. But if he retires, he has done everything that you could possibly want to do, I think, in this game. You check those boxes, and I just hope everybody respects the decision either way.
Yeah.
Whatever he does, it's his decision. He wants to do it. I don't know if I'm a player in today's day and age, I don't know if I could just walk away. I really don't. But at the same time, if you set a standard for yourself, if this is what you believe that you have to give, and if I give anything less than that, I can't live with myself, then maybe you just walk away. So he's got a couple of cards to play. It's not over completely, but we do know that the Carolina Hurricanes will not have Justin Williams to start the season. Yeah. So we'll see what it means for the team, but I think that he set enough example that enough guys can pick up the baton and run with it, and maybe, just maybe, a new leader emerges for the Carolina Hurricanes in that locker room, or maybe it's a former leader. A lot of people have asked us, we'll cut to the chase, like, well, who will be the captain if he doesn't come back? There might be a few tells or signs here. One of them would be they don't name a captain. They go with three alternate captains. Or some people could say, you think Sebastian Aho is your franchise player? Is he a candidate for it? Certainly, I think he is. Or a guy who's already worn a C for the Carolina Hurricanes, Jordan Staal, he could be up for it. Perhaps Justin Falk, a guy who's had the letter. But there are options for the Canes. I honestly think, and we can get to this one a little early,
if you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
The Canes will go into the season with three alternate captains. They will not have a captain.
I'm going to send that back because I think Rod Brind'Amour strikes me as the head coach who would want to have somebody wearing the C. I think he's just the type of guy who is going to want that traditional setup of having a captain and having your alternates. So I think if I had to guess, and you know, obviously that's the name of the game here, take it or send it back, I'm gonna send it back because I do think that Rod Brind'Amour is going to want a captain in that locker room. And I do think there is one there. It kind of depends on which way he wants to go. You mentioned a couple of options. I think maybe the most logical choice is to just go back to somebody who has worn that letter before, like Jordan Staal, like Justin Falk. But I do believe Sebastian Aho is a future captain for this team. So do you go ahead and give it to him now? Or do you wait? I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is there. But I think no matter the choice that's made, I think that person, that player, is going to lean on a lot of what they saw Williams do last year. I think having Justin Williams lead that team last year was one of the best things for the future of this club because they got to see firsthand just what he meant to the club, just what he meant in that locker room, what it meant to be a captain. And I think whoever wears that C this year is going to take a lot from what they saw from Williams last season.
I also kind of paraphrase that from our good friend Matthew Herman, who puts a lot of like it, take it's out there for Michael Smith. I took that before you could use it and kind of phrased it as my own. One more thing you talked about, the synergy. Wow, I used one of those words.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm watching a lot of TED Talks lately. But the synergy between Justin Williams and Rod Brind'Amour, as coach to captain, in relaying that message, where it's two different voices but one message, saying the same voice, coming at different angles. I don't care what organization you have. And when I say organization, I'm not just talking sports. It could be the mom and pop bakery down the road, and it could be the number one Fortune 500 company in the United States. If you have management, and then when I ownership, management, leadership within the divisions and workers all listening to the people who are telling them this is how you have to do the job and this is the message, and you get that buy-in, that's when great things happen. And that's what we saw last year. There was the message from Rod Brind'Amour that was perfectly orchestrated to this team, that he never got off of his message. He never changed what he wanted them to do, you know. And they could have in, you know, November, December.
Yeah,
really could have changed things.
I mean, honestly, late December, this thing was headed south quickly. But credit to Williams and, yep, and Brind'Amour for rallying the troops.
But to the point, Brind'Amour stayed on message, mm-hmm, and Justin Williams didn't fight it. He goes, no, the message works. We're going to keep getting it there. And I'm sure that they had, along the lines, they would probably have a disagreement on things here or there. I mean, that's happened. That's the natural course of human nature. But the message stayed the same, and it kept being relayed. And if you have a coach saying, we got to keep doing this because it's going to work, you got a captain or that leadership group that doesn't buy into it, it goes off the rails. Mm-hmm. You get the Ottawa Senators. Meanwhile, if you get a guy who says, we have to do this, it's going to work, you got to trust me. If the leader, if the captains, if the guys with the letters in hockey say, it's going to work, boys, we just got to keep doing this, you get the buy-in. And that's why we saw the Hurricanes run to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah.
And you and I both watched the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know what more Justin Williams had to give,
right,
as,
yeah,
a player.
I mean, that was the whole thing. He poured everything he had into last season.
Yeah.
And when he signed here 2 summers ago, he said he wanted to bring this team back to relevancy. He said, losing, yep, we're done losing. We want to get relevant again. Climb the ladder, get relevant.
And he did.
And he did just that. And if that's you know, how he leaves the game, he should be incredibly proud. And Hurricanes fans should be, I think, incredibly thankful, too, for what he was able to do to bring this organization back into relevancy.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's the task of that locker room to continue what he started, to build on what the Hurricanes were able to do last season. And we've talked about it before on the podcast. I think that team in the locker room is better than they were
On paper.
5 months ago,
no,
4 months ago.
If you go on paper, let's go back 365 days. On paper, the roster that the Canes are going into this season with is better than the roster they went into last season with.
Yeah.
And on paper. Some spots, you could argue, maybe not as strong, but some spots much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, up front, the top nine, this is about as deep as the top nine has been in any time going into the season for the Carolina Hurricanes. So there's lots of good things. I just wanted to get that out there. Also, I wanted to just get this out because, do you have one?
Oh, no.
Well, of course not.
No.
So here's the
excuse.
We're
by the book.
Here's the excuse. Got that one out early for you.
Yes, exactly.
That's why.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you want to add on Justin Williams and what he did? Because first off, I could go off on the human side of things. You know, we always say he's the coolest guy in the room. He just is.
Mm-hmm.
He really truly is. His parents, Craig and Denise, are wonderful people. They have done a great job raising him. His family is a family man, family first. All of the things that he has done. But the thing for me about Justin Williams is the person. He is one of those people who, when you're around, he just makes you. It sounds weird, but you're happy to be around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And just talking for whatever, even a, how are you? You know,
thank you.
And for, yeah, people who don't know, the Canes cast ends with thank you. And it's Justin Williams saying thank you.
Yes.
Every episode of it ends with that.
He was our first guest.
He was. And I think we said he was our best ever guest.
Yes.
And that's why he said thank you.
Yes, exactly.
But he is one of those people who just, you know, you hear everybody says it. I think it can be quantified, but it's a lot of things that make someone special, the charisma but this is a guy who cares about his teammates, cares about others. He's charismatic. He's funny. He's everything that you would want a leader to be. You know, it's funny. He's very similar to Rod Brind'Amour in a mm-hmm. lot of those respects. But the thing about Justin Williams for me is he's not phony. He is as real. The guy you see on, you know, practice days, at 11 o'clock in the morning is the same guy that you see after a playoff game. The same guy. He is a real person. I know that sounds weird to say, but as far as athletes go, he has been one of the best I have ever been around.
Yes.
It's just the way to go.
Yep. Wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. And covering him these last two seasons has been a pleasure. Hopefully we get more.
Yeah.
But if that's the end of the road, then that's the end of the road. And he's had a spectacular career and did some really, really great things for the game, not only here, but with all the other teams and in all the other cities that he played.
I mean, just look at people in L.A.
Yeah.
Well, if he's leaving the door open, we want him here. People in D.C., that leaves the door. You don't say that about every player who's there, folks.
Yep.
Even Philly fans. I saw a few nice things from Philly fans.
Wow.
That's shocking. but it's one of those things where, I want to use the movie quote. You ever see the movie 8 Men Out? I know it's about the Chicago White Sox that threw the World Series.
Okay.
But at the end, John Cusack, who was playing one of the players, is sitting in the stands and he's talking about, this great player, and it was Shoeless Joe Jackson. For those of you who know baseball history, for those of you who don't, Google it. It's good. But the whole thing is he's watching him. Supposedly he was banned from baseball. And he's playing like some independent league thing, and it's Jackson playing. And this guy goes, "Did you see him play?" And he goes, "Yeah, I saw him play." And he goes, "How was he?" He goes, "He was the best." And you just leave it at that.
There you go.
And that sums it up here. But we talked about how this team is deeper and the things that they have done to get there and the additions they've made. Well, what do we have? We promised this, Michael, and we actually deliver here.
We did way back when. We were supposed to talk to Ryan Dezingle this summer when he came into town, but some weather mishaps delayed him, and then we scampered off on vacation, so we didn't get to talk to him then. But he's back in town now. He was on the ice today at RCI skating with the Canes. We caught up with him afterwards. Here is forward Ryan Dezingle.
Well, joining us now, newest Canes forward, Ryan Dezingle, and happy to have you here in Raleigh. You've had a couple of weeks to settle in. How have you found your way around the area, or are you still trying to find your way around a little bit?
Yeah, still trying to find my way around. I mean, my fiance and I are trying to find all the good spots to eat and everything else, but now that all the guys are back, it's going to be a lot easier transition to learn about some of the areas and stuff, but we love it so far, and very clean and beautiful area, so I'm beyond excited.
Yeah, plenty of good spots to eat. I'm a testament to that, and plenty of good spots to go play golf. I know that you and your fiance are going to be pretty excited about that, to be able to go out there and hit them. Have you gotten a chance to play any of the courses yet?
Yeah, I played Old Chatham with the boys yesterday, so I'll be playing maybe for another week or so, and then trying to shut it down a little bit. It wears and tears on my back a little bit, so during the season I try to take some off, but once the season ends and hopefully we make a deep run, then I'll be able to play a lot more, but trying to slow down a little bit now.
All right, we heard from Jordan Martinook that he might have taken a couple of holes off of you.
That guy's an absolute sandbagger. Don't listen to him at all.
So what's the biggest adjustment? Because last year there was an in-season move for teams for you from Ottawa to Columbus, but now that you have an off-season, is it a bigger adjustment? Is it actually maybe smaller than being moved in the middle of the season?
It's smaller. I think it's a lot easier. You get to come in, start fresh in the beginning of the season when there's a the whole team's coming in together. When you come in and get traded at the deadline, it's a little bit harder. You're trying not to step on anybody's toes. They already have a team, they already have chemistry built, so that was a little weird for me. That was my first time, but I think I learned a lot, and it's going to help me transition to Hurricanes now.
And what excites you most about coming here to Raleigh and joining this Hurricanes team, which made that run to the Eastern Conference Finals last year?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different when you get drafted to a place, and now it's when you get to pick where you want to go. It's pretty special. I mean, obviously I didn't have, don't get to pick too many places, but you get a handful of teams you get to look at, and this is where me and my fiance both wanted to be. You get to the rink and you heard nothing but great things about the head coach and about the players. And so that's the biggest thing. You want to feel comfortable, and then heading home to a beautiful place, like you said, nice place to eat and beautiful weather and a homey type feel. So it's got every single thing that we wanted. And now it's just about going out and producing and being able to stay here for a long time.
And you got on the ice today with a handful of guys, been around the guys for a little bit. What are your first impressions of the group here?
Yeah, pretty welcoming. I mean, we played golf with them already yesterday, and just a good group of guys. I mean, you're going to find that in most hockey locker rooms, and it's definitely weird coming in, not knowing anybody. I don't know a single guy, so not knowing anyone is a little tough, but the boys helped me out already and made me feel at home, so honestly, it feels feels like home already.
With camp beginning in about a week and a half, do you feel things beginning to ramp up a little bit on the ice?
Yeah, you always think you're not ready. You know, you always get these thoughts where, oh, no, did I do enough? And then you look back and you look at all the lists of things that you did and how hard you trained. So I do that every year, question myself, and then I come in feeling great. So I think that's just part of it. You want to make sure you're ready. And I think I took a lot of strides this summer to be prepared.
Training camp is usually that, let's just get through this, let's get this out of the way. But is this maybe because, like you said, there's nobody on the team who you know, this is going to be a different training camp for you to get to know the guys, see the personality, see who you maybe click with on the ice, where as opposed to, in Ottawa, you knew where you fit or you wanted to do.
Yeah, for sure. I think most of the other guys have been through this enough where they don't really need another training camp and they try to get through it. And that's what I did in the years past. But this year, it's weird. This is the first time I'm coming in, excited, I've never been before. So honestly, it's a big workload, so you're always worried about that. You want to be ready October 4th, and you want to be prepared for the whole season to produce. So you have to be smart, but at the same time, this is the first training camp I've been really excited for in a long time.
All right, just for you, I'll say it. You went to the Ohio State University. This is a college area as well. Have you picked up on that early on, that there's that same kind of vibe maybe here as you'd get in if you were in Columbus for those 4 years, or as opposed to a pro city?
Ohio. I said I'm a Raleigh guy now, so I said Duke and UNC basketball, and then everyone's getting me on board for NC State football. So, share the rink and share the everything with them. So that's really cool. So I'm going to have to learn more about the school there and buy in there. And you know, obviously, hear a lot about UNC and Duke basketball, but hear a lot about NC State football around here. So I'm excited to go to a game.
So we got to get you into Cameron Indoor and the Smith Center for a basketball game this year, though, right? That's what are you putting that vibe out there? See if we can get you in.
Oh yeah, you got any floors on the wood? I want to be on the wood on the floor. So let me know if you got any hookups.
All right, we'll talk to Coach K. Get you to slap the floor, fire up the crowd, and all
perfect.
That. When you look forward to, like you say, look forward to a season. This team is coming off their first playoff berth in 9 seasons. I know that you had a lot of things to take care of when your season was over, but did you pay attention to the rest of the Eastern Conference playoffs, or did you,
you're paying attention all the time, and you're watching. You try not to watch too much hockey, but you're going to notice, you're going to take notes and see about everyone else's run. So that was cool to see. And obviously the fans were crazy, and it was something you wanted to be a part of. So hopefully the fans keep backing us, and we have to keep producing for them, and it's going to be pretty awesome.
And what do you hope to accomplish with the Hurricanes this season? Not only helping the team get back to the playoffs for the second season in a row, but also personally, what do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, like I said, I think this is a place that I want to build a family here and be a long time. So that the way you do that is you produce on the ice. You have to produce for yourself and then for the team. Obviously, you have to put up some good numbers so you can help the team. That's what I do. You know, it's not a selfish thing. I need to score goals for the team, and I need to make plays. So hopefully I can produce for us, and then in turn doing that, building off the team, the great team they had last year, I'm just trying to help out and score goals and play both ends of the ice, and hopefully I can do that.
And what have you heard about head coach Rod Brindamore and how he carries himself and handles matters within the team? What excites you about joining this club with him leading the charge?
Yeah, I think I've answered this question a lot. It's crazy. It's like I haven't heard anything bad, which, you usually hear some stuff about people, and not everyone likes the guy, and that's just how it is, but I haven't heard one bad thing. Every single player I've heard from, he just tells you how it is. Obviously, you're gonna have to work, and I take pride in my work and the way I play and back check and stuff, and that's what he wants. So if you work, he's gonna keep you accountable, and if you don't, he's gonna let you know. So I mean, that's what it should be, and I've heard nothing but great things, which is cool.
Well, Ryan, we're excited about the fit. I mean, Michael and I talked about this in the off season. People kept saying, well, if you're the Canes, who would you target? What free agents were out there? Not to toot our own horn. And we both said that Ryan DeZingle is a guy who fits here. So we're looking forward to it. We know excited about it. Thanks, and officially welcome to Raleigh.
Thank you so much.
He's going to be a good addition
to
this team, both on and off the ice. I can't really relay enough the excitement that he has to play for this team and play in this city and put down some roots. He's very excited, and I think he's going to have a big season.
Yeah, and I like his versatility.
Mm-hmm.
He can play either wing. He can play in the middle if you need him to do that. He can kill penalties. He scores goals. Hopefully we're not breaking and entering here at RCI, because I'm hearing some kind of thing going on in the set in security.
Yeah. Whatever.
Cops will be here. They'll join the Canes cast.
We'll be here. We might have live guests.
But Ryan Dzingel is a guy who fits. And, you know, I told you when we were done with the interview with him that, you know, we generally don't we don't talk ourselves up enough. But he was one of those guys when I was looking at free agency, like, who fits? Mm-hmm. Who's somebody who we know what the Canes style of play is under Rod Brind'Amour, what they want to do. That's the guy. And they got him. And I think that he is going to be a outstanding player in addition for the Hurricanes moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. He really helps solidify that top nine. He provides another scoring option. When you look at what the Hurricanes added with Nino Niederreiter last year, a guy who can truly just find the back of the net, I think Dzingel is the same type of player. He's going to be a guy who plays fast, plays with speed. He can score in transition. He's going to be the perfect addition to this club, that a club that struggled to find consistent offense, did so, you know, really from January 1st on, and that was a big difference in what the team was able to do. But he's going to help, I think, just sort of stabilize that top nine and provide that consistent scoring threat.
Well, the other thing, and we're going to do this out of order here on the Canes cast today, you wanted it, you got it.
It's the Minute with Marty.
It's time for the Martinook Minute with Jordan Martinook here on the Canes cast. So, Jordan, we can always do the how did your summer go, but more importantly, what's on your mind here?
Just being back in Raleigh, I'm becoming an avid Raleigh sports fan, as you can see by my Twitter this weekend. Catching an NC State game and seeing them beat up on ECU. Sorry to all you ECU fans out there, but they're our neighbors at the PNC, so my allegiance falls with NC State. And Durham Bulls taking the win on Sunday when I was there, and then not winning but still making it into the playoffs, which tomorrow night, Wednesday, I'll be attending the first playoff game there. And yeah, just excited about Raleigh sports and Durham sports, and I think I'm going to check out the soccer game this weekend too. So I'm kind of all over the map. And yeah, other than that, I finished the weekend off playing golf against Fleury and Dzingel. And if you guys want to get a quote from them, I think I took a little bit of money off them. So, yeah, I had myself a pretty good weekend.
Well, that was fun. Big weekend for Jordan Martinook. Big sports weekend
in
the Triangle.
He's everywhere.
He's excited about playoff baseball in Durham. He's got a crew, big crew going out there.
No coincidence, by the way. Jordan Martinook shows up to a Durham Bulls game. They make the postseason.
Wow.
They won when he was there.
Yeah.
So that's it. Oh, they'll trust me. The Bulls will do what they can to get him back.
They'll roll out the blue carpet.
Oh, absolutely. So, and speaking of leaders, you know, he might not wear a letter, but he is a leader for that team. He is a spark plug for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, that's when we were talking about potential players who could wear the C, I would have to consider him in that bunch. But at the same time, is he one of those guys who leads better without a letter? I know that sounds very funny to say, sort of like a
I don't think
Ray Whitney type.
Yeah, I understand. I don't think it matters.
Probably not.
If anything, I think you put the letter on him, and you know, I don't know if, like Justin Williams, I don't know if you can get more, but maybe you get more.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't think that you can go wrong putting a letter on Jordan Martinook's chest.
No,
not at all.
Not at all. And I would be interested to see if he's in that mix, because he's certainly established himself in the locker room as a vocal guy, a character guy who can get folks riled up, lift spirits, you know, all of that sort of intangible stuff.
If this were the old days of the NHL, I could tell you absolutely 100% he'll be a captain.
Mm.
And he's a guy who, you know, you talk about, I know we're looking forward and what's coming up, Michael, but all the things that happened last year, you needed a Jordan Martinook to fire up a group that was kind of quiet, mm-hmm. you know, the year before. Didn't have really that guy. And now they put him in there, and the guys feed off of that. And we saw that it brought out more personality from other players. So it's a pretty solid group. But he's a guy, I wouldn't hesitate if I'm Rod Brind'Amour to put a letter on his chest.
You know what?
Wouldn't even hesitate to do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And I just thought of a, from the segment earlier, just thought of one. And it relates.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
The storm surge will continue this year without Williams. Because that's a question. I don't know if you've gotten that a lot. I've gotten that a lot. I've offered my answer, which I hope it does, but it's going to be up to the locker room. Because that's where it was born last year. It was born in the locker room. It was born with Justin Williams. Does it continue this year?
I'm going to keep it.
Okay.
But I don't think it'll be the exact same thing. I think it will be different. I think that each group is going to have their thing now, because that was last year's group, and it was special, and a good portion of that team's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see something. I don't know if it'll be the exact same thing.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope.
But we'll see something. They're not just going to go to center ice and stick tap and then go into the locker room. There'll be something.
I think the days of that are numbered, hopefully.
Yeah.
Over.
I mean,
I'd like to see more teams get creative with what they do. I mean, that's part of the fun of the game. You won a sporting event. Why not celebrate?
Yeah, and it's you're playing a game. You can have fun. Have fun, okay? This whole we can't have fun. And trust me, folks, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a traditionalist. There's certain things I love, but back in my day, we didn't have celebrations. We would immediately go in the locker room, and then we'd have to hit each other in the head with a stone. That's how we played. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. Have fun. The people want to be entertained. It's entertainment. How many times did we hear the head coach, Rod Brindamore, say, it's entertainment? And they're not rubbing it in the faces of the other team. Now, see, there's certain celebrations I don't like. There's certain celebrations that you see in certain games, certain sports, where you're like, you're taunting your opponent there. There's a fine line for some people between taunting and celebrating. No, there's not a fine line. You know when somebody's taunting you. You know when somebody is actually just having pure joy of accomplishing something.
Mm.
You should be smart enough to figure out what's what. And that's why all of those windbags up there that were like, what are you doing? Shut up. You just wanted to argue. And there's so much of that garbage now in what we do of, well, we got to debate and argue just because, and it was an easy target for it. But if you didn't think that was fun, then get out of this business.
Then what are you living for?
Exactly. A wise person once said that.
Speaking of having fun, the guy who wrote that on his goalie sticks, he retired.
Yes, he did.
Last week. Cam Ward calling it a career after 14 seasons, 13 of which were spent with the Carolina Hurricanes in Raleigh. He played with the Chicago Blackhawks last season. A chance for him to go to a different organization, experience a new city, something he said he was very grateful for, him and his family, getting the chance to spend a season in Chicago with the Blackhawks. And now signing a one-day contract with the Hurricanes to hang him up as a member of this organization, which drafted him back in 2002. And he spent 13 great years here with the club.
Yep.
Obviously, big part in helping bring the Stanley Cup.
Conn Smythe Trophy winner.
Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Basically owns the franchise record books for a goaltender,
mm-hmm.
and will probably for a while. That's Cam Ward. That's his legacy. That's his career. An incredible career. And I know I was thrilled to have, gotten to know him. Yep. and cover him for the last however many seasons it's been that I've been with the team. I've lost track at this point. But he was a big part of this franchise, and I think we've talked before that we'll probably see number 30 in the rafters at some point.
I would think. Just because, like you said, when it comes to goaltending for this organization, and it goes all the way back to Hartford, he is number one in everything. That at least the stats that matter. I could go off on this for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few things about how it ended that don't sit well with me for fan bases. And look, when a team doesn't make the playoffs, I know that you want to point to something and say it's this. Cam Ward deserved a lot better from a lot of the fans out there than what he got. Now, there are a lot of fans who appreciated what he did, but there were a lot of teams in front of him, if we're going to be brutally honest, just weren't good enough.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you had Patrick Waugh, Dominic Hasek, Georges Vezina, you were going to have a tough time getting into the playoffs, let alone competing for it. And I understand that there were a lot of storylines that fans would glom onto You know, it's the glove side high. By the way, take a look at, I'm going to create a heat map chart because that's, I guess, a cool thing to do of, you know, where goalies are scored on. Mm. And I would promise you about 90% of the league goals are scored glove side high on goaltenders. These are the best in the world, and that's where the majority of their goals are let in, at least for good ones. Is Cam Ward a Hall of Fame goaltender? Probably not. And, you know, people are going to roll their eyes that I say probably not, but, you know, 300 wins. He's got a Stanley Cup, but the goals against average isn't where it's, you know, it's not elite. Save percentage is not elite. But for everybody who didn't appreciate what this guy was, and it was more than he's a good guy. Michael Smith and I can do the good guy routine all day long for you, for these guys, because of the access we get.
Right.
But Cam Ward was more of a leader than people ever knew in the locker room. He was more emotional than what people knew in the locker room, meaning, you know, what wins meant or what losses did to him and things like that. Nobody wanted to win more than him when he was out there. Mm. That's just the way it is. Injuries, I think, really sidetracked his career early on. Like, you start talking the Rick Nash where he gets cut in the thigh. Then back injuries in 2009 where he – go back and watch the 2009 playoffs. They get to the conference finals because Cam Ward was absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
Versus New Jersey and Boston. And he stared down Marty Brodeur and then at the time Tim Thomas. I'm not sure if Thomas had his Vezina or not, but still, Thomas was one of the elite. And, you know, he gets hurt against Pittsburgh, and I think we all saw what happened from there. But he helped the team get there. But this is a guy who I'm glad that the last action he had as a player, even if it's a ceremony deal, is signing a contract to retire a member of the Carolina Hurricanes. Because when I think of the Hurricanes, Cam Ward's one of the guys that I think of.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to like him, and I get it. I get, you know, some people are saying, well, you say all the nice things now, blah, 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 he was this or that. It bothers me that people didn't give him enough for those teams that were really bad. Like, oh, we're going to lose the game, you know, 4-3 because you ignore the 6 or 7 saves he made to keep the game within striking distance. Yeah, and he'd be the first one to tell you after the game, should have had that, should have had them all.
Right.
And that was always his belief. But when he had fun and when he was on, there was a stretch there where he was as good as anybody in the league.
Yeah.
or close to it. He was in that you know, top 10 air, but a lot of things sidetracked it. But he was a guy who I enjoyed covering immensely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And talk about coming from a good family. Another guy who's, you know, folks who are just great people, raised a great guy, and another guy who, you know, puts his family in front of himself, and that was Cam Ward. Just he is one of my, you know, as far as goaltenders go, goalies can be a little weird. He wasn't.
No.
Was just a normal guy.
He two deep playoff runs, obviously, with the team. Probably could have had two more when you look back at that 10-11 season that ended on the last game of the season. The Hurricanes,
they did it twice,
lost that game.
10-11, right. and then 7-8.
Yeah, and then, well, so those two seasons. Then you had the shortened season in 12-13, or really just 13, where the Hurricanes were in a pretty good spot in the standings in early March, and then Cam Ward gets hurt, and the wheels sort of come off. So, yeah, I mean, some tough ways to end, you know, those seasons.
Yep.
When you would have liked to see that team get in, because once the Hurricanes got in with Cam Ward in net, that's when he really turned it on.
Money goalie.
You look at his playoff numbers, and it's really, really impressive what he was able to do playing on that sort of stage.
Yeah, that term isn't invented out of nowhere. There have been some guys in the history of the NHL that were good regular season goalies, but you get them to the playoffs and they had another gear because of the compete that what they had. Cam Ward was that guy. I would have loved to have seen him get into. And maybe that would have happened. And I know that the story could have been different between him and what's out there. And I hate that I kind of went down that road, Michael, because I want to celebrate that. But there are a lot of people who are willing to do it. So I'm just going to go there. You should have caped up a little bit more for number 30 when you had the chance, folks. Just saying. But I would have liked to, and maybe if he had a couple more playoff opportunities, certain groups, certain factions, certain whatever would be a little bit different in their view of it. But, look, man, there are people who are going to defend awful human beings if they help their – well, because we get to the playoffs with him every year. All right, well, fine.
Yeah, there's something to be said about the longevity of his career too.
Sure.
But it just got to a point, he said, where his body wasn't cooperating.
Nope.
And you reach that point physically where you realize that you can't compete at the level you once did. He had that realization and then was able to sign the one-day contract to end his career where he started it. It was very fitting for Cam Ward. And he's somebody who we're going to see again back in this game in some form or fashion.
Yeah, that's a big question too. Like, are we going to see him here? I think eventually you'll see him
in time
involved with the organization or with hockey again in some way, shape, or form. But he needs time away from the game, and I don't blame him. Take as much as you want. And goalies, too. When goalies' bodies start to fail, that decline happens much quicker than other players in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he said he was able to get by with just sort of different techniques and stuff. But when it comes down to you not being able to play the position you've played for your whole life, the way you've played it for your whole life, it just becomes too tough to really go on, and that's when you have to make the decision that he did.
All right. Anything else you want to get to here in this edition, 102 of the Canes Cast?
That should wrap it up, I think.
Good brunch spot that I found.
Ooh, do tell.
No, I did, and I will, and I'll tell it again. You're looking, it's only a Friday, Saturday, Sunday spot right now, and it's here in Raleigh, not our tales from the road. Although, people want us, and we're getting closer to it, people want us on the road to give places to go eat.
Well, I'll be in Nashville this weekend for the Prospect Showcase.
I know you will. I'm just saying, should Bill Berniston, by the way, thank you for listening this far, Bill Berniston, to the Canes Cast, and we'll see you later. By the way, Billy Berniston and Cam Ward had a special relationship.
Yes, they did.
Strength and conditioning coach and goalie.
Very special.
But if you are looking for a great bakery, Union Special Bread, which is on Crabtree Boulevard off of Capitol, but they do brunch on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in kind of like a collaboration with a restaurant. We'll come in and they'll like use the breads and they'll put together a little brunch item for you. You need to go.
Yep.
You saw the Instagram post
for it. I saw your
Instagram. And it is special.
And if anybody saw my Instagram post from yesterday, I was at the kitchen table, the offshoot of Relish restaurant in North Raleigh. Had a chicken biscuit with pepper jelly and pimento cheese, and it was fantastic.
Ex Vado is the restaurant they were doing the collab with. I had a union egg sandwich with chorizo, hash browns, union hot sauce, and queso.
In.
On a roll.
Yep, in.
Oh, so good.
Yep.
And scrambled eggs. It's,
of course.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah, I'm gonna be in Nashville.
Delicious. Yeah.
Nashville. Might get some hot chicken.
Got a couple of places you need to go. We've done Hattie B's there.
We have.
But there's a few other places.
We did Biscuit Love last year.
We did.
There's barbecue. I think it's pretty good.
I haven't taken you to Merchants. It's a good spot.
No.
Downtown, right by the arena.
Acme's good.
Acme's good. Acme Feed and Seed.
Broadway.
Roberts. If you want the Working Man special, I think it's still $4.95. Get a fried bologna sandwich, a bag of chips, and a PBR. God bless America.
Yes.
And a few other places. Distillery is a good place. You'd love that one, too. So there you go. Bill Berniston is going to be angrily texting us.
Very
what are you
angry.
Doing? Stay on message. Stay on brand.
He's going to try to fight me next time I see him.
I'm not going
to
stop. I was in the locker room. It almost happened today. He put you in a chokehold.
It almost happened.
And I'm not getting in between that now because you egg him on now. I was going to defend you
thing.
Because at first I thought he was irrational for all of this.
There's going to be one of these plane rides. He sits behind me. And
I know.
He's just going to end it.
Have you ever seen like a spy movie where they come in and give you the garrote?
That's what I'm going to be looking out for this year because it's going to happen. I'm going to have to use my fingers to deflect the chokehold that he's sure to put me in.
Travel with a microphone so you can use the mic and make sure that goes through. All right, that'll do it for this edition. It was on location. Thanks to the great folks at Raleigh Center Ice for letting us broadcast from in here after watching the Canes take their little bit of. Can we call it a captain's skate? What are we going to call it now?
Yes.
Sure.
There were captains on the ice.
Sure there were. Yes, there were. There were two.
Yeah. So I think it's a captain's skate.
Works for me. All right. So we'll come at you next week. And next week, be ramping up even more because we're getting closer to the start of training camp, which kind of officially opens on the 12th, but really gets going on the 13th.
Yeah, it'll be another midweek special next week because of the prospect showcase wrapping up in Nashville. So look out for a new Canescast on Wednesday.
Wednesday probably works best.
And we'll update you on everything from Nashville and get you set for the start of training camp.
One more thing, you know what's coming up tomorrow, or if you're listening to the Canescast today or yesterday?
Whoa.
The media ball hockey tournament.
Yeah, and we're on the same team.
We are.
Team Sonheim, or
no,
he's not our captain.
I think Mark Armstrong is.
Oh.
From ABC 11.
Yes, Team Armstrong then.
I'm going to do my best to backstop a victory. It's been a while since I've had one.
We're going to rally the troops and get a W on the board.
I'm going to give you all I got.
That's all we can ask.
And afterwards, I might walk away from it, and I might not.
Is Cam Ward still available?
If we could use him over me, definitely. Because I'll just play defense and block shots. Sure. That I can do.
Yeah.
So next week at this time, no pressure on you, but you need to score 4 or 5 goals.
Okay. We'll recap Nashville, and preview training camp.
All done. That'll be for episode 103. But that wraps up episode 102. For the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Menescalco.
We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.